We are in the middle of a series called Unspoken. And we're dealing with faith, emotional, and mental health issues. And week one, just to really quickly recap, if you didn't catch week one, two, or three, you can catch them on the web. In week one, we defined mental illness. We talked about why do people and why do churches hide that issue. In week two, we talked about the fact that every single human being is fearfully and wonderfully made. We have a body, soul, spirit. We're complex beings, and thus we need complex treatments, complete treatments, to realize health in our bodies and in our souls and in our spirits. And last week, if you were here, we talked about the whole issue of anxiety, which is a huge mental health issue in our society. And again, we looked at the four areas that you need to have if you want to have success in beating anxiety, and that's the psychological, the physical, the social, and the spiritual. And if you remember last week, we said that all anxiety is based on fear. And the truth is that every single one of us in this room fear, because we're made to fear. We're created. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. And fear is part of the way that we're made. It's good to have some fear, and yet other fear is not so good to experience. And as you know, some fears are realistic, some fears are unrealistic. Think for a minute, what are you afraid of? Here's one of the things I'm afraid of. I've showed you this or talked about this before. Throw up the slide of the bridge. Click, click. No click. Next one. One more. There we go. Suspension bridges. I hate these suckers. Can't stand them. And my wife loves them and loves to take me to the middle and start swinging the ropes and laughing because she's sick and twisted. And I can't stand those things. I don't know why. I know it's an unrealistic fear, but I still don't like them. And before you get judgmental and call me a wimp, some of you don't like these things, right? Yeah, see, I've already freaked some of you out just showing that picture. And think about it. The spiders, what? About, most spiders are a little bigger than your two fingers, maybe like this. They weigh an ounce, and you weigh like 120 pounds, and you're afraid of a spider. I mean, it's not realistic, right? But all of us have fears. Some are realistic, some are unrealistic. But here's the deal. Whether your fear is realistic or unrealistic, fear can cripple you. Fear can paralyze you. Fear can rob you of joy. Fear can stop you from making the decisions you need to make in life. Fear can stop you from doing things that you know you need to do and God wants you to do. Fear can negatively affect your body, your soul, your spirit. It can cause massive anxiety, and it can cause other mental health issues. So how do we deal with fear? Whether your fear is realistic or unrealistic, how do you deal with fear? Well, if you have your Bibles, you can turn in Psalm 27, not 127. I said last week 127. Some of you are going, I read 127. It has nothing to do with what you're talking about. That's right, because I told you the wrong Psalm. And what's really funny, and a sign I'm getting old, is on the way back from the CPC campus, I said to my wife last week, honey, did I say 127 at the sermon at CPC? And she says, yes, you did. I said, man, I meant Psalm 27. Then I came back at the 11 o'clock service here, and I said 127 again. So who knows, right? But Psalm 27 is where we're going. And Psalm 27 was most likely written when David was fleeing King Saul and his army. King Saul was on the hunt for David. King Saul and his army, they wanted to kill David. How would you have responded if you were David? King Saul and his army are after you. They want to kill you. How would you have responded? Look how David responded. Psalm 27, verses 1 to 3 says this. Now remember, he's being chased by an army. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, It is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. Saul's entire army was out to get David. They wanted to devour him. And listen, anytime an entire army is out to get you, your fear is not unrealistic. It's realistic. And yet David says in verse 3, though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. Why? Go back to verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Let's look at those three descriptions. The Lord is my light. Even in the dark time of having an entire army after him, David had no fear because God was his light, and that light dispelled his fearful darkness. Darkness can be fearful. We all know that. Remember when you were a little kid and you were afraid of monsters under the bed? I love the comic strip Calvin and Hobbes. You probably read Calvin and Hobbes. Calvin and Hobbes is a comic strip it's about a boy and his stuffed tiger. And many of the strips involve Calvin and Hobbes finding themselves on Calvin's bed while monsters whisper in the dark under the bed. And you remember those days. You've got young children or young grandchildren. You remember well monsters in the room being scared of the dark. And whenever there's darkness in our life, whatever that darkness is, it can bring fear. And monsters in anxieties, they thrive in the dark unknown. But imaginary monsters and inflated anxieties cannot survive in the light. Light illuminates darkness. Where there is light, darkness cannot exist. And here's the really good news. David says, God is light. His light, his presence will dispel the darkness in our lives. And then David says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The word salvation there means deliverance. The Lord is my deliverer. The Lord will bring deliverance. It speaks of God's ability to deliver people despite the odds. Listen, we have a God who specializes in delivering people despite the odds. Remember in the Old Testament that the Hebrews were enslaved, they were oppressed in Egypt. Egypt at the time had the largest and the strongest army in the world, and the Hebrew people were a bunch of oppressed, unarmed slaves. And yet what happened? We all know the story of the Exodus. God delivered them. And because of God's previous activity in his life and in the lives of others, David was confident that God would deliver him from Saul's army despite the odds. There's a really good lesson there for us. When you're dealing with anxiety in your life, when you're dealing with fear in your life, be it realistic or unrealistic fear, here's what I'd encourage you to do. Look back. Look back at your life and how God has been faithful in your life time and time and time again. Look back at the stories of other people you know and how God has been faithful in their lives. Read the Bible and see how God was faithful. And as you do what David was doing, as you look back and see how God has delivered people, how God has delivered you time and time again, it will give you confidence and peace in the present. David says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. David would not fear because God was his stronghold, his place of safety. If you were in the midst of a hurricane and you were living in a small mobile home, you'd have reason to be concerned. But if you were in an underground concrete bomb shelter, then you'd have nothing to fear at all, right? Why? Because you were in a strong place of protection. When God is the strength of your life, when the Lord Almighty is your stronghold, then you are in a strong place of protection. Notice David says, God is all these things. God is light. God is salvation. God is a stronghold. And if you think about that, if the Lord is your deliverer, if the Lord is your light, if the Lord is your stronghold, then really, what do you have to fear? What do you have to fear? I like the way the Message paraphrase puts verse 3. It says this, when besieged, I'm as calm as a baby. When all hell breaks loose, I'm collected and cool. Why? Because the Lord is your light and your deliverer and your stronghold. And when you know that God is your light and your deliverer and your stronghold, that truth should create within you a desire to seek him. And that's exactly what happened in David's life. Look at verse 4. It says this. One thing I ask from the Lord, and this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Let's go back to verse 4. One thing I ask from the Lord, and this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Notice the singleness of David's desire. There's one thing that he desires, and that is to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of your life? Even though the temple of God was where God's presence dwelt, you couldn't live in the temple. David here is not talking about a physical location. What David was asking for was to experience the unbroken presence of God in his life. David desired to live permanently in God's presence. David was saying, God, I want to know you personally, and I want to be in your presence always. The question is, how is he going to experience that? How can you and I experience that? Well, the psalm goes on to tell us two ways to do that. The two ways are in that same verse. Verse 4, it says this, one thing I ask from the Lord, and this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. David said, there's only one thing I want. And then you notice, then he said, to dwell and to gaze and to seek. And you go, hold on, David. You said one thing, but that's three. What's up? Here's the deal. Seeking and gazing are actually the two ways that we dwell in God's presence. If you want to dwell in God's presence, you need to gaze on his beauty and you need to seek him in the temple. One thing I ask from the Lord, and this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord. Now, in David's day, creation was called beautiful. Women were called beautiful. A king could be called beautiful. Jerusalem, where the temple was located, was called beautiful. But you may or may not know this. It's only in this psalm that God himself was called beautiful. Nowhere else is God called beautiful. Only in this psalm that God was called beautiful. And now the reason that God was not usually called beautiful was because back then, beauty referred to only those things you could actually see. So when David said that he wanted to gaze on the beauty of the Lord, he was not only saying that God was beautiful, catch this, he was also saying that he wanted to get close enough to see it. David wanted to get so close to God that he could actually see the beauty of the Lord. Do you have that kind of attraction to God? Can you say, God, one of the things I want in life, or the one thing I want in life is to dwell in your presence, and I want to be so attracted to your beauty that I actually see it. Fear and anxiety, as we all know in our lives, have a magnetic attraction. And that magnetic attraction can only be broken by a stronger attraction. Someone has said, we overcome our fears to the extent that we are attracted to God and His glorious beauty. David says, one thing I ask of the Lord, and this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in the temple. Now that word seek is a very specific word in the Hebrew in which the Old Testament was written. It means to get counsel or guidance. Verse 4 in the Message paraphrase reads this way. I'm asking God for one thing and only one thing, to live with Him in His house my whole life long. I'll contemplate His beauty. I'll study at His feet. David was seeking to know more about God and His ways. He wanted to know God and His counsel and His guidance. Do you see the psalmist's one desire? He says, my only desire was to dwell daily in God's presence. And he's going to seek to do that, to experience that, through having a deep attraction to God and then by learning more about God. Now, what about us? What if each one of us said, that's it. That's my one thing in life. My one thing in life is to dwell in the presence of Jesus. Everything else will come second to that. I'm going to dwell in the presence of Jesus. That's my one desire, God, is to dwell in the presence of Jesus every day my feet are on this planet. I'm going to ask you, God, to give me an attraction to you so I can see you and your beauty like David desired. I'm going to get to know more about you. I want to seek your counsel. I want to know you. If you had that kind of desire, what would happen to fear and anxiety in your life? You notice the result. Look at verse 6. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At His sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Here's a guy, an entire army's after him. They want to devour him. They want to cut him to bits. And he goes, my one desire is to experience God's presence in my life every day, because I know God is my light and my stronghold and my deliverer. You see what's happened when David has that mindset, when David has that desire? Fear and anxiety are replaced with joy and singing. Now, would you rather be anxious or joyful? Would you rather be fearful or singing? And you're saying, somebody singing can make me fearful. Yes, I know that. And the truth is, you have to answer that question honestly. Because I know some people would say, I'd rather be anxious and fearful because I'm happy in that place, even though I'm not really happy. I'm comfortable being fearful and anxious. God says, I don't want you to stay there. I want to be your light. I want to be your stronghold. I want to be your deliverer. I want to bring you joy. And then in verse 7, David began to pray. Prior to this, David had been talking about God. He'd been showing us the desires of a heart. And now David speaks directly to God, starting in verse 7. Here it is. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says to you, seek His face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. Have you been my helper? Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desires of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. David wanted God to hear him. David wanted God to answer him and make his presence known to him. David wanted God to receive him and to teach him and to lead him and to protect him. David poured out his heart to God, and here's a lesson for us. When fear and anxiety come our way, we need to seek God by redirecting our focus from our circumstances to our God through heartfelt prayer. When fear and anxiety come your way, you need to redirect your focus from your circumstances to your God through heartfelt prayer. Now, honestly, that's easier said than done. Because our natural instinct when we're fearful, our natural instinct when we're anxiety is to trust in who? Ourselves. And we think if we just stew on our anxiety, things will get better. Or we think we have to do something to make things better. And sometimes we do. But one of the first things we need to do is pray. We need to shift our focus from our circumstances to our God through heartfelt prayer. But the truth is, prayer in these moments is often counterintuitive. And yet, look what Paul said, Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Paul says you need to take all your worries and all your fears to God. We need to pray about everything. We need to tell God what we need, and then we need to thank Him for all that He's done. And look at that. This is awesome. When we do that, look at the promise. Philippians 4:7. I love this verse. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. When you're anxious and fearful and you turn your focus from your circumstances to your God through heartfelt prayer, when you pour out your heart to God, God says you will experience my peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding. And folks, I have seen that again and again and again in people's lives. That promise is true. You're going to see a video at some point here in our series of my neighbor Chris, who has battled cancer. And I asked the church and people in the church to pray for him. And as people prayed for him, he felt a peace. That's this verse being played out, not just for our lives, but as we pray, we can bring God's peace into the lives of others. Are you struggling with fear this morning? Are you racked with anxiety this morning? I would say to you, why not trust God for this promise? This is the Word of God. This promise is true. I've experienced it, and many others have experienced it. If you're racked with anxiety and fear, shift your focus from your circumstances to your God through heartfelt prayer and watch what God will do in your life. Let's go back to Psalm 27, last two verses, verse 13 and 14. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. David was confident that he would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In other words, David was confident that he would be delivered from his enemies and his trouble. He was confident that God was going to come through. What he needed to do was wait on the Lord. Look again at verse 14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. David knew there was nothing he could do to solve his problem with Saul. He knew all he could do was wait for God to act. And maybe today, you're facing a problem in your life. You're facing an issue in your life that you cannot solve. And you're fearful and you're anxious about it. If that's you, David would encourage you to wait on the Lord. Now, waiting on the Lord is tough. That's been a difficult part of the Christian journey for me because if you know me, I'm basically impatient. Yes, I've got to work on that part of the fruit of the Spirit. Thanks for that. But I'm impatient. I want God to act now. And yet I've learned this. This is what I've learned. That the best plan is to give the things that I can't control to the Lord and then wait on Him. The truth is, we're far better off leaving our concerns in His hands than keeping them in our hands, right? 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Are you willing to do that? Let me give you a little exercise to do. If you're struggling with fear and anxiety, if you've got a lot of concerns, here's what I'm going to encourage you to do today. Take a piece of paper, write all your fears and anxieties out. Just list them out. Bang, 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 bullet point. Then put a check mark next to the ones that you are not in control of. You can do nothing about. Put a check mark next to those ones. I can't do anything about this. Check. I can't do anything about this. Check. And then take those ones that you've checked and pray. Pour out your heart to God, and then confidently leave them in His hands and wait on Him. And then for those ones that are unchecked that you maybe can do something about, pray for God's guidance, and He'll give it to you. He'll show you what your next steps are. Listen to the people around you. Whether your fears are realistic or unrealistic, I encourage you to follow David's example. Three things David did. Three things we can learn about dealing with fear, whether it's realistic or unrealistic, anxiety in our lives. Here they are. The three things David teaches us. Number one, make your one desire to daily know God's presence. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you a deep attraction for God. Seek to learn more about Him and His ways. Get to know Him as your light, as your deliverer, as your stronghold. Second, when fear and anxiety come your way, do what David did. Redirect your focus from your circumstances to your God through heartfelt prayer. And thirdly, for those things that are beyond your control to do anything about, listen to David's words, wait for the Lord, be strong, and take heart, and wait for the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank You that Your Word speaks to us. Written thousands of years ago, I'm always amazed how it speaks right to our heart today. God, there are people in this room, right here this morning, they're racked with anxiety, they're racked with fear, they're struggling, they need to hear the Word from David, they need to hear the Word for You into their lives. God, may all of us in this room make our one thing about following You. May our one thing be desire to be in Your presence every day that we're alive. God, I pray for those right now, right in this moment, who are struggling with their circumstances and right now are thinking about them as we come to communion. May they take their circumstances and may they turn from their circumstances to their God. And may they just quietly pray in these moments and release those things to You. And God, may all of us learn that when we can't work on things, God, when they're beyond our control, may we just learn, may You teach us to wait on the Lord because You are faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.